recording. There we go. Well, this must be a good night.
Well, I'm taking care of that right now, so praise the Lord. There we go. Yeah, if you could slide one of those, that would be good too. So getting here, you know, when Paul said God, or I was hindered, I tell you what, that's what I feel like tonight. It's been like crazy just to get here right now. So I pray that this will be a good time. I suspect it will be. We do have a lot to pray about. So a lot of things going on. I need to update you on. I'll get to that here at the end. So I've actually got a cheat sheet, so I've got some things, you know, written down this time so I don't forget them. And so if you have your Bible, let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to finish up the first seven verses of chapter 7. I think that's where we left off. I know that is where we left off. Now, the exact place, last week, is in my notes. And my notes are at my house. So I got here and had to hurry up and get these reprinted off. Finally, get the printer didn't work. Nothing was working. So anyway, praise the Lord. We're good. They've got the copies that they need, but I don't have my little red mark to tell me where I left off. So that is verse 4, I believe. Was it verse 5? Okay, good. All right, good. All right, we've got verse 5 and 7, then let's go ahead and we'll just read the first, we'll just read all of that up through verse 7, and we'll jump into this. Now, concerning the things whereof I wrote you wrote unto me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission, and not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. Heavenly Father, we just ask your blessing on the reading and hearing, and the application of your word tonight, and we thank you for this text, and thank you for this church. Thank you for the wisdom that you gave Paul, and thank you for preserving your word for us to this day, and it's so applicable. It's more relevant than tomorrow's newspaper. So, Lord, we thank you for the fact that we have tools in our heart and in our hands that we can use in our life. We just praise you and thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so just kind of backing up before we jump right into this, especially if you've not been here before or you're catching up, what we've talked about is, and this is important, going back to verse 3, is considering Christ's benevolence. You know, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise the wife unto the husband. And, of course, just dealing with marriage, we talked about a lot of things in the last week. But we, at the end of the day, we boiled it down to worship. Benevolence means submission, and the word, you know, the word power is used there in that text, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. I sent you back there to remind you that Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And so on one hand, the Corinthians are submitting themselves unto powers they should not, and on the other hand, they're defrauding themselves from the powers that they shouldn't. So it was a really unhealthy dynamic, very much like today in many cases. So it's really practical. And so we talked about that. I won't rehearse every detail of that for time's sake, and also I don't want to repeat myself and bore you to tears. But we talked about the different roles between the ladies and the men, and so I won't rehash any of that. You can go back and hear the tape if you want. So that puts us back on verse 5, where Paul says, defraud ye not one another, except to be with consent for a time. And in essence, what he's saying is don't rip your spouse off, right? That's what he means is sex is not a weapon. Don't hold it over each other's heads as a tool to manipulate your marriage, because that's a perversion of the marriage covenant and not what God intended. And also then quit thinking about your need and focus on your spouse's. And so God will honor you. And I like to quote the verse from Acts that Jesus said, "More blessed to give than receive." Even though that's not the Gospels, the Holy Ghost has it preserved through Luke and Paul. So that's really good wisdom. So God may need your sacrifice to draw Him closer, or to draw you closer to Him. And of course, that is. And Tony touched on this in the marriage conference in the next part of this. He says, defraud you not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not. Now, this is talking about the actual act of marriage, and of course, this is a consensual, agreed-to situation underneath the Lord, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And there's an actual sexual fast is what he's talking about. And Tony phrased it like this, that a couple so, I don't know exactly how he worded it, I'm trying to be discreet, but is so, so I'll just say in mixed company, they're so active they have to take a break basically and fast. And there's a certain sense in which that's true, but there's also a sense in which there are just times as well where there is a very important season when things are come upon a couple where a child's out of sorts or something's really serious in the family scenario in their life, and there's a time to come together and a time not to, and so it's permitted to fast, so to speak, take a break. But the point here is, don't allow too much time to go between coupling up as a married couple. And so there are a variety of reasons to fast sexually. Some are external crises, some are marital crises, times of separation. There are times when couples are so dysfunctional, I'll use a contemporary term, that, man, they've got to break up just to get along. And there's a time where you got to, like little kids, put them in their corners and say, time out. That's a very extreme situation. That's usually supervised. There's also the family crisis that I mentioned, major decisions of fasting and praying. There's also demonic type of situations where you're totally focused on the burden at hand. Living in the middle of a war, oppressive situations which don't allow you the liberty, right? So Paul says, hey, there's seasons, right, where you can't come together, and then you need to come together as soon as you can. As soon as that season is over. And so the same reason we fast with food are the same reasons we fast sexually, in essence. And so there's times when we fast. I don't raise your hand, because I don't really think that's the opposite of fasting. But I don't know how many of you fast, but I just was talking to the pastors about this last Sunday before this meeting, about fasting and praying. And I know it doesn't look like I fast, but one of the reasons you fast is not to lose weight, by the way. but really, we don't talk a lot about it. We've had a season where we had 24-hour prayer. How many remember that? We got together and we prayed. So just probably one or two of you, we just prayed overnight, 24 hours. And there's just times when we need to be really gripped with prayer. And this is a prayer meeting. And there's times when we ought to fast. And I think there's times to fast regularly. And the reason we do that is to deny the flesh. And we don't want to get into a situation like whatever the Catholics do, Fat Tuesday or whatever it is, right? So you 40 days of Lent, and then you go and indulge yourself, and that's just really carnal. But the point is that there are times of fasting. Food, technology, whatever it may be, and the things that control you, don't allow them to control you. You put those things aside so you can pray and focus on things above. And so, I know I'm not the only one who does fast here. I know some of our other pastors who fast, and we don't announce it, and we don't get together on that and say, hey, we're going to fast, But it is important every once in a while, I would even say weekly at times, just to you don't want to get religious about it. That's the only thing. You don't want to get like a monk, right, and get ascetic and start, getting into that. But there's times to really just set everything aside, tell your flesh no, and focus on things above. And that then, of course, would also apply to this context of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I said all that just to say that. And so, and it always precipitates prayer. Prayer is a real big part of this. And so we're setting our attention on the Lord instead of ourselves. Now, point J, the Old Testament precedence for sexual fasting is when God set the nation of Israel apart to meet at Mount Sinai. So turn back to Exodus chapter 19, and you can see this. I just actually read this recently in my daily devotionals. I'm in Leviticus now. I'm in, I think, chapter 14. But just a few weeks ago, or last week or whenever, I was in Exodus 19. Seems like last week. It was probably a couple weeks ago. And I just covered this in my own personal time. So Exodus chapter 19 and verse 15. The Bible says here, I'll start verse 14. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. And then he uses this phrase here, come not at your wives. And so, what's he talking about there? Well, let's keep reading. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the Lord exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up, and the Lord, and then he speaks to him from there. I'm not going to go on from there. I went a couple of verses over, but the point here is that God set the nation of Israel apart. Why? So that he could meet with Moses, and thereby give them the law, the word of God, right? So it was the spiritual things. Now he didn't say you can't ever eat, you can't ever come at your wives, which he's meaning sexual engagement. But for this season, he says, wait, this is important. This is a spiritual moment for our nation. All eyes on what's going on Mount Sinai, because this is important. This is what it's about. It's about my relationship with you, in this case, the Old Testament, with the nation of Israel, and him giving the law on Mount Sinai. So that's a really good Old Testament illustration of the New Testament principle that Paul's referring to. There are seasons of fasting. And literally, that is a sexual fast proposed by Moses there in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 15. So Ahimelech, the priest, would not serve David and his men showbread unless they had been abstinent from their wives, right? So dealing with the holy things in the temple. And if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 21, and guys, I don't know that I've ever, this is stuff that I've studied out, I don't know that I've ever heard messages on this. I probably haven't and forgotten them. This isn't like, yeah, let's talk about this on Sunday morning. Skirt around this stuff. But 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 4, the Bible says, and the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, and if the young men have kept themselves, at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common. Yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there. Anyway, that was the undoing. I'm going to stop right there. But in verses 4 and 5, what we see is that they were to abstain, or they had abstained for 3 days, and the priest found that adequate to allow them to have the showbread as they were replacing it. But he wouldn't let them have the bread from the showbread table, unless they had abstained. So there was a certain amount of purity there. And you can also go back to the Old Testament laws and look at some additional sexual purity and cleansing rituals and so on and so forth. It's not that, again, you got to be careful, because sex isn't dirty. That's one of the things about the church that we've been labeled as, making sexual intercourse some sort of bad thing. I'm always careful to say, look, the best sex is married sex, and the best sex that's married sex is Christian sex. So I always say that because it's true. I teach young people that because it is true that Christian kids are taught, staying, 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 and they are, and they should be. And then it's like, okay, go be bunnies, right? And so, but there's got to be some balance there. And frankly, all of that, both the abstinence and the execution thereof, should be underneath the Lord's covering. And kids do need to know that God has blessed couples with that. But there's also there is a certain amount of priority here, and the Lord is first. The Lord is first. And that way, you don't allow things to creep into the marriage bed that shouldn't. And at the end of the day, that really was the problem in Corinth. Going back to what I mentioned last week in 1 Corinthians, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So just because it's lawful now and you're under grace doesn't mean you can do anything, because it will take away from the worship that's intended in the sexual union. And therein was the problem at Corinth. And therein is the problem in Laodicea, right, in the culture in which we're living. Because as we get increasingly pagan as a country and as a culture and around the world, we're going right back to that kind of evil, wicked thinking. So the sexual union is no longer hallowed. And so it's really important as Christians, and we got grandparents and some parents in here, it's important that we really are on our A game here, because the culture is really preaching now a more pagan sexual orientation. And so these things of 1 Corinthians 7 are very applicable practically to the culture in which we live, because there is no holiness associated with sexual intercourse anymore between a husband and a wife. And so that's really what Paul is trying to restore at Corinth, and doing it in the context as God created. Now in the culture, it's probably a little easier to catch. Maybe not, because Greece is pretty rotten. But if you're in Asian culture, for instance, like in India, man, I tell you, the Indians get it. I mean, to an extreme sometimes. And they're also wicked in many respects. But they definitely get some of the essence, right, of how it was supposed to be. And then in other ways, they get more into the Buddhism and some of those other crazy things. It gets really skewed and messed up and twisted as well. But the issue of honoring the marital bed and all of that stuff is actually, and the modesty and all of that is still fairly intact there, very intact. And so, when you're around that culture, you really, the Bible comes to life. You're like, oh, okay, their heads are covered. Da, 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 da. It all just comes together for you. It's amazing. However, even just go to the north and go into China, into pagan China, communist China, where God's been stripped completely out of the culture after the Boxer Rebellion. And I tell you what, it's as crazy there as it is here. And so it's just a mess. So human nature is a mess, is the problem. So that leads us to verse... Let me pause there. Is there any questions on that? Because I was actually... That's really finishing up the tail end of what I had last week. So I'll open that up to any questions. It's like, no, I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to touch that. Right? Okay. The point being, I'm going a little far afoot, is basically what the Apostle Paul is trying to communicate is not to defraud one another. It's no more. It's not a weapon. Sex isn't a weapon. Right, so it's crazy in Corinth that they're indulging in things they shouldn't, and appetites for things they shouldn't have, calling it grace, and then the things that God has given them grace for, they're defrauding one another. And so that's really a good litmus test, right, of our spiritual walk with the Lord, because it doesn't honor the Lord. All right, point three, the best state for you, right? This is good, verse 6 and 7. But I would speak this by permission and not commandment. For I would that all men, for even as I myself, but every man hath his proper... gift. I know it's there, but I'm not seeing it. Proper gift of God. One after this manner and another after that. That's what happens when I run my memory. Now I can't find my place. and so the best state for you, point A, is the one God has you in today. I literally just had this discussion with one of our members today. The best state for you is the one you're in today. If you find yourself widowed, you find yourself divorced, you find yourself single, you find yourself married, you find yourself unequally yoked, right? All those statuses that we have, that's the best state for you today. And I know there's people that will say, no, I want out, or no, I want in. Okay? Now, the state that isn't good today is the state of fornication and adultery. Witchcraft, idolatry, right? So those states are not the state to be in. It's that simple. And time again, we try to meet people where they're at and offer grace It seems exceedingly hard for people to get a hold of that. They like to stay in a state they're not supposed to be in, but then when they get in a state that they're supposed to be in, it's dysfunctional. Why? Because you started in a state you weren't supposed to be in. Right? Get out of that. If you're in fornication and adultery, stop it. I'm not talking to anybody in the room, I hope. But really, it just gets on my nerves. Especially when Christians do that. It's ridiculous. But anyway, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Let me get back off my hobby horse and get back on track. So, Philippians 4, 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. The Apostle Paul taught that to the Philippians, and it's something that we all need to remember, preacher included, right? Man, the state you're in, learn to be content. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Right? And that's probably, especially in our culture, we are programmed not to be content. You know, you can't have a 10-year-old car. You know, man, that's old. You need something new. You can't have anything old. You got to go out and buy something new all the time. Because contentment is not part of the culture. You've got to be, you know, you got to... I'm glad Amy's content. See, I don't want her trading me in for a new model. And the reality is, though, that godliness with contentment is great gain. So God knows you need a spouse, right? If you do need a spouse, and he will provide in his time. I will say, just on a side note, it's practical. I discipled a guy, you know, and he's just kind of like, I prayed, Lord, just bring it, you know. Well, there is a certain essence where you kind of got to move. You got to make some decisions to, you know, if you need, and that's not just a wife. Maybe it's a wife. But hey, you know what? I'd rather be someone just like sitting there with their arms and legs crossed, waiting for God to bring it, you know, because they prayed, than being overly zealous in their flesh and going out making dumb decisions. So there is a balance there between acting on the faith and doing what God tells you to do. But God will provide a spouse in time. So if you find yourself in a state that you're not content with, right, that doesn't mean that God doesn't have something better. But for today, that's the state you're in. And so be content with that today. Take it one day at a time. And continue to pray. And do the things that you need to do to... you know, if you're a lady or a man, be in the ministry field. By the way, practical things. Put Jesus first. This is also, I need to be careful what I say, but I'm just going to leave it there. So, the Lord's yoke is easy and his burden is light. So, be about the business of yoking up with the Lord and spreading the light. And just like Ruth met Boaz in the field, right? You will find that person that God has for you, whether you're Boaz or Ruth, in the field. But the issue between Boaz and Ruth is their character and integrity. And so what the thing is that you got to have that integrity. But like we started this particular series in these first seven verses, it's not, you're not a second-class citizen if God doesn't give you the burden to be married. And it is, in essence, a burden. If you're a man now, you have yoked yourself to a wife, and as soon as you're yoked to a wife, you... will have kids, or you may have kids later, or you will have kids that you inherit, or however the situation. You now have all these responsibilities that you didn't have before, right? So Doug Pearson, for instance, example, cannot just go out and go, hey, I'm just going to hike across Nepal today, like he did back when he didn't have Bethany. Now his concern is for his wife, which it ought to be, right? That's the proper concern. But there are some things that come when you get yoked up. You can't just go off and plow without considering the person that you're yoked to. Right, so who you yoke up with is very important. And we spend a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 6 when we teach people to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers in regard to marriage and lost people, which is true. But also, it's important not to yoke up, as I said last week, with a four-cylinder if you're an 8V8, right? You need to make sure that you're yoked up with someone who's going to be meet for the mission. And the mission needs to be preeminent in the mind. This is where I'm going with the Lord. And so, if you're a young man and you want a good young woman, well, you need to be a young man that's going somewhere for the Lord, and ask God to bring a good young woman that can help you go there and prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Likewise, conversely, the same thing with the young lady. Don't settle for a four-cylinder man that you think you're going to turn into a six-cylinder, because he does not have enough metal in the block for you to bore another hole. So he is. You know, you just got to let the Lord do that work and let him do it. And you can go on and find another man, right? Because women just love to fix them up, and it's never a good idea. And so it never works out. And so anyway, I already did cover that last time. But that's important. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul learned that whatever state he was in, to be content. Point B, if you can remain single, that is a gift. And you have a, and if you have a spouse, they're a gift either way. God wants to bless you in your relationship with Him. And so being married or being single, the point is a gift. And just understand that, use it, right? Use it for God's glory. If you're married, well then be married and use it for God's glory. If you're single, be single and use it for God's glory. Let Jesus Christ be your preeminent concern. And then all the other details will fill in later. In James chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. If every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." All right, so let me recap what we've covered. In verse 1, we saw the beauty of single saints. This thing starts off talking about the beauty of single saints. And so Paul, man, he didn't want to be married. He was free and he was serving the Lord, and God had given him that grace. And so, praise the Lord. So being a single is not a second-class situation. Then we talked about the benevolence of married saints, right? You do benevolence that's required in marriage to serve one another under the in the sight of the Lord. And then we talked about this section here, the best state for you. So God bless you guys. Jesus loves you, right? And so, you know what, today we need to render due benevolence to the Lord, right? So He loved us first. And before we were actually, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we need to render to the Lord due benevolence. And that's why we praise Him. That's why we preach. That's why we go out and we do what we do. That's why we share the gospel with others. Because it pleases our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and He's worthy of our utmost devotion. And so that's really where our hearts have to be. And so if that's where we're at with the Lord, how do you think that's going to work out with your, if you're married, how's that going to work out with your spouse? It's going to work out a lot better. Keeping the family on mission is really important, and it's not always easy. And so, you know, Amy and I were just talking about that this week about our prayer time as a family. It's kind of gotten religious, so we need to break it up and do some praying outside of dinner time, right? And do some, just say, hey, let's stop and pray about something that's pressing. And there's plenty of things to pray about. Why? Because the kids need to know, you know, Sam and Elle back there need to know that this isn't just some religious ritual we're going through. That this is real. This is on. And so it's easy for us too, because you just want to go home and I need to relax. You know, I got a headache for 3 days. I need to get rid of it, you know. But you know what? It's important that we stay focused on our fidelity to the Lord. And then it puts all these other relational aspects together. For those of you that were at the marriage conference, and I know some of you weren't, of course, for different reasons. Maybe you're not married. But one of the things I talked about was just the need to have marital maintenance. Marital maintenance is really secondary to the daily maintenance that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we have our daily maintenance with the Lord going on, it's gonna facilitate the other relationships that we need to maintain. And we can't take it for granted, by the way. Just because you get up and do your daily devotions, I do know folks that they think they're really tight with the Lord, but they're really a big reproach because they're not rendering to others the due benevolence that they deserve. God, they get all this love from God, and yet they don't give it out to anybody else. They ignore their kids. They come to church and they're like a Jekyll and Hyde. They're really nice here to everybody, and then they go home and yell at their kids and their wife and beat them and knock them around the house. And I just hate that. I mean, I don't really know the people doing that anymore. But if they do, and I find out about it, I'm not shy about it. That is just wrong. And the thing is it's not, if you're really close with the Lord, you don't treat people like that, right? And so how we treat our spouse is really a reflection of how we really are getting along with the Lord and how we feel. Because you can't belie it. And the people that know you best are your spouse. And so make sure that you're doing that marital maintenance, right? And not that we're married to the Lord. We are as a church. But he's our Lord and Savior. So we need to make sure that daily we're spending time with Him. You know, and even devotions can get religious. I read my Bible, click, boom, your mind's off to 50,000 other things, right? So go, wait a minute. One of the things I do too, like I'm in Leviticus. Actually, it's been pretty good. But sometimes I'll go through Leviticus, let's say a section of Leviticus, and I really am like, Lord, that's just not tripping my trigger today. I mean, I'm just not fired up about this passage. So what I'll do is I'll go to Proverbs. And daily, God always has something in Proverbs for me. And then whatever I get in Proverbs or Leviticus, I try to even remind myself to meditate on that. Sometimes it's easier than others. And in addition to all the studying and all the other stuff that I am doing all the time for everything else, I try to have something else that is just me and the Lord every day that I'm meditating on. It has nothing to do with the Revelation study, Corinthians study, church planning study, pastoral procedure study, Acts study, you know, 1 Corinthians study. Right? That's all. What's that for? That's to feed the flock of God. But I need some time with the Lord. And my family needs me to have that time with the Lord. And frankly, y'all do too. And so that's important. And I'm just sharing with you all that off my heart, because I think a lot of times in our culture, I know the busyness. I'm migrating away. I keep saying this. I'm going to migrate away from the electronic devotional time, because it is a distraction. And so if you cannot spend time in the Word, and I'm thankful for the electronic access to the Word of God, because it is helpful at times. But I'll tell you what, if you can't get away from the distractions, don't use electronic devices. Right? Open up the good old-fashioned book and spend time looking at the black and white pages. Because there's no emails going to pop up. There's no no text message. Nobody invading your personal time with the Lord. And so that's another practical thing that needs to happen as well. So those are just some practical things. I hope you're encouraged by that. Next time we get together, we'll pick up verses. The reason my notes aren't here is they're at the house. It's a long story. Anyway, so preparing for the next section. But we'll pick up the text from there and go forward in chapter 7 and verse 8, and we'll continue to talk about some of these other aspects regarding marriage, being unequally yoked, some of the real gnarly stuff with what happens when people get saved and they find themselves in a situation where, well, I'm saved but my husband or my wife is lost, now what do I do? You know what? The Bible has answers for that. And Paul, and the way he addresses it is very instructional to me. I've learned a lot from the Apostle Paul just reading the way he handles these things, and so we need to have the same way that Paul had as well. All right, so that's everything I got on that. Let's have a quick word of prayer and wrap this up. We'll transition. Lord, I just want to pause, and if there's anything I've said tonight that's not what you wanted to have said, Lord, I ask that it would be erased and expunged, and everything that is from the Word and is the Word and is related to the Word, Lord, I pray it would dwell deep in our hearts, Lord, and that we would respond to it. Lord, I just thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for the opportunity we had today to go out in the community. Thank you for just your church body. It's a beautiful church. Lord, we look forward to just everything that you have for us this coming Easter Sunday, this coming Wednesday night, and the Life Issues classes in between, all the activity of the church, Lord. And all the activity, Lord, may we not lose our intimacy with you. Lord, it's so important that we follow you, Lord. And we thank you for this time just to be reminded of that. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Help us to invest in the preeminent one, Lord, and that is you. And Lord, I pray for all the other relationships to fall into place. And we just thank you and we praise you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so, Amy, do you have your prayer pieces? They should be in my box. They're not in my box. They may not have gotten done this week due to all the other things you're doing. Okay, so remind myself to do that. Goodbye to you and Arissa. We had a great time. God bless you. We'll see you soon. All right.